From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner reaching for the wire, collectors alongside, and then comes West Coast and War Story. But Gunrunner's on top of the world. He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
But Arrogate swoops up on the outside. America's King Croesus of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good morning, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude, that's Jude Feld. We are together in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. Want to welcome everybody tuning in on Sirius 219, XM 206, and of course listening to us on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and streaming us worldwide and listening on podcast through our website at horseracingradio.net. Happy to have you with us on what is kind of a chilly morning here in the Bluegrass. Temperatures only in the low 20s. And JT, what a difference a week makes. Last week we opened the show and hosted this program from Gulfstream Park on the opening day of the championship meet. It was some 50 degrees warmer than what it is right now in Lexington.
Yes, I've aged probably 25, 30 years this week, actually.
You were moving like a tremendous machine over the 3 or 4 days that we were in
South Florida. Ran in the airport to get the bags because they beat us to the gate. Everything was running very smoothly in Florida. And now it's 400 steps to the bathroom and 400 steps to the trash cans. I mean, it's like unbelievable. It's freezing here.
Let me do this for you. Okay, we are
100... Rub my feet?
Well, yeah, sure, put them up here. Put them up on the console here. All right, we're 147 days, 8 hours, 53 minutes, and 14 seconds away from the first Saturday in May 2018. But I know, probably even more importantly to you, we are just 49 days away from the Pegasus World Cup at Gulfstream and a return to South Florida and that beautiful warm weather.
Yes, and we'll probably return 4 or 5 days ahead of time, so that shortens it even more. Believe me, that's keep your eye on the prize. That's what I'm keeping my eye on.
The countdown,
the prize
has begun, and of course that will begin our 2018 race broadcast season. The Pegasus World Cup kicks off our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series, and of course that also kicks off all of our coverage coming your way in 2018. You'll be able to see a complete broadcast schedule posted on our website shortly, and it will be there for you at horseracingradio.net. Well, unfortunately, JT, we begin today's program, and we'll talk about this at length over the course of the next 2 hours with the devastating news of the fire that engulfed much of San Luis Rey Downs in Bonsall, California, this past week, just a couple of days ago, actually. If you're not familiar with Bonsall and San Luis Rey Downs, it is located just about 46 miles north of San Diego as you're heading up toward Los Angeles. The horrifying images and the videos that were posted on news outlets and social media, well, they're simply tragic. But the fire, JT, came so quickly and engulfed many of the barns so quickly that many of the horsemen that were there, the only thing they could do in order to give the horses the best chance at survival was to turn them loose. And when you watch the videos and see the pictures and you see horses running all over and you've got the smoky gray backdrop that looks like something out of Armageddon, it just touches you in ways that you never could imagine. And God, so tragic.
Yeah, it was brutal. You know, I have a lot of friends there, obviously, having trained in Southern California for 20 years, and you know, I was in contact with many of them the last couple of days, and it did come out of nowhere. I mean, it was there like in 2 seconds. 1 minute it was fine, the next minute it's engulfed in flames. And so many people lost horses, and the grooms, many of them lost their homes, all their worldly possessions.
Yep.
You know, trainers are going to have to start from scratch. They've lost tons of equipment. The beautiful thing that came out of the tragedy was the fact that so many people in racing have stepped up to the plate and sent money and sent help and clothing. And I mean, it's just amazing. And it just goes to show what a fantastic community the horse racing community is, and people making donations to tax stores and people collecting clothes for the grooms, purchasing clothes for the grooms.
Yep.
I don't really want to call anybody out, you know, because of it, because I don't want to miss anybody, but everybody's been gathering whatever they can, whether it's items for the horses, straw, feed.
Yep.
Del Mar stepped up to the plate, and the track's going to be open for training, you know, actually galloping, I believe, by Monday. Could be sooner. They're already jogging on the track, so the horses have, you know, a place to go and let some energy out. I'm sure a lot of the horses are have a lot of nervous energy from the last couple days. But everything seems to be running like a well-oiled machine, and I think Del Mar has had a big play in that, but other people have too. And, a lot of racetracks, Sanita, Gulfstream, are participating in all of this. So there's a lot of good that's come out of it, even though it's absolutely horrific what happened and sad for so many people. But I think in the end, everybody's going to be all right. And it's been a good camaraderie building experience for a lot of people in racing.
Yeah, according to many reports, it appears that more than 40 horses have perished from this fire that struck San Luis Rey. And as Jude mentioned, so many of the grooms and the trainers losing so much. I mean, the grooms, you think about losing everything that you have, right? And we hear about these stories quite often, whether it be a house fire or somebody has a barn fire. I mean, you lose everything you have. You wake up one day and everything's gone.
Right.
But put yourself in those shoes, right? And and you're right about the horse racing community and even people outside of the horse racing community that have heard about this story on national news have come together, and they have already made great progress in helping the relief efforts here. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to give this out for the first time, probably of several times here this morning. But Del Mar has established a GoFundMe page, which, and Santa Anita's involved in that, the Stronach group. It's GoFundMe.com/thoroughbredcare. That's GoFundMe.com/thoroughbredcare. I looked just a short time ago, the total number of or amount of donations up over $416,000. So that speaks volumes as to the compassion and the love that this sport and people have, you know, for the horses, for the people, that you can't do enough.
Yeah, no, it's amazing when you think, you know, a groom ordinarily lives in a very small apartment room or tack room at the barn, and their worldly possessions, I mean, you know, it could fit in probably a suitcase or you know, a large box. But that's what they have. That's everything they've got. Their clothes, their, you know, memorabilia, their pictures of their family and stuff, all gone. So, it doesn't take a tremendous amount of money to replace the worldly possessions, but like the memories and stuff that they've lost, whatever artwork or stuff they have from their kids or whatever, it's all gone.
Yeah.
And so, in order to give them a jump start, it's fantastic that you see people making such a tremendous effort.
I know that Barbara Livingston of the Daily Racing Forum and a few other people on Twitter were talking about some of the true heroes that came out of this. And there are always acts of courage and heroism that we see whenever these types of things happen. But a groom from the Pete Miller Barn, Leo Tapia, there were videos posted out there of Leo in a barn that is essentially on fire and letting the horses out. trying to save as many horses as he possibly could as this barn is burning. That's what was going on. That's the reality of what was happening. It was hell.
Yeah.
It was simply hell.
Absolutely. And Clifford Sice, trainer Clifford Sice, who's always been a guy that's been proactive in our business and always seems to want the best for everyone in racing. He did a lot too, and evidently he was burned over part of his body, and never made a mention of that. He was always trying to tell the horse people what was going on, where the horses were, what was happening, and he's not getting any younger like the rest of us.
Yeah.
I mean, but he was there, the whole time calling shots and trying to help people. And it's amazing, how many people stepped up to the plate. And I had people call me and say, I'm out of town. I wish I was there. It's, and some people are actually coming back to town to help out, going to Del Mar. Which is, above and beyond for a lot of people. But it's great that everybody's pulling together and any kind of support, I mean, Anthony and I talked about this yesterday. I'm 2,000 miles away. Anthony's 3,000 miles away, but sometimes people just need somebody to talk to,
Yep.
and tell them, it's going to be okay. And whatever you can do, is a fantastic thing.
Yeah, well, I know I speak for all of us here at the Horse Racing Radio Network when I say that our thoughts and our prayers are with you and will continue to be with everybody who was affected by this horrific tragedy. Brittany Erton of TVG sending out a tweet yesterday, which I thought was excellent. She said there are certain items that they've identified that are needed for the backside workers, and I'm just going to go ahead and read through this very quickly because you can, in addition to going to the GoFundMe page to donate to this cause financially, you can also send different items out to Del Mar and the various organizations who are helping. But jackets, sweatshirts, and underwear, size medium, men's, women's clothing, 14 to 16, only for women, jeans and jackets, toiletries like bar soap, deodorant, toothbrushes, shoes, workman type shoes, cots, and locks with keys, not combinations, but locks with keys, and then coffee makers is the other item she identified. And a lot of those items are pouring in, but again, you can do so much if you want to help. Those are the types of things that are needed right now.
Yeah, you can also call Del Mar, and they'll give you some guidance as well. So, and I would imagine, any of the horsemen's groups. But it's going to take a while for everybody to get back on their feet and get organized. But racing's a very resilient sport, and with people like those that have really paid attention and become involved, it really makes it a lot better.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is the news that is dominating the horse racing scene this week. We're going to continue to talk much, much more about the San Luis Rey fires, and we will do that coming up in our next segment with Jeremy Ballin, who is with the Blood Horse. Jeremy, front and center. He had been there with tweets, and he had been there with videos and posting pictures and keeping everybody up to date. He was quoting different people who were on site as the fires were happening. Jeremy took the time to join Anthony Stabile yesterday on our Express Bet Radio program, and we're going to replay that interview for you after our first commercial break this morning. Don't miss it. Jeremy, a firsthand account of what was actually happening as the fires hit. Jeff Bloom, our good friend and colleague here on the Horse Racing Radio Network of Bloom Racing. Jeff had three horses stabled at San Luis Rey. One was loose, running around and missing. They have since found that horse, so all three horses accounted for. Jeff has been at Del Mar the past couple of days helping with the relief efforts, so we'll get a chance to check in with Jeff in the second half of the program today. Outside of that topic, we will focus on some racing issues, and number one, we'll focus on what's happening at Gulfstream Park today, an historic day as they host the Clásico del Caribe in the United States for the first time that race has ever been held outside of the Caribbean or Latin America. We're going to visit with Mark Thatcher, who is the owner of Justa Sierra, the Puerto Rican Triple Crown winner, going in the Clásico del Caribe this afternoon. Mark also has another horse in there. We're going to talk to him about the Caribe. We'll talk to him about what this day means to the Caribbean and to Puerto Rico in particular, who was devastated earlier this year by the hurricane. So we'll talk to Mark coming up here in just a few minutes. Alex Waldrop from the NTRA, the president and CEO, will be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Alex is going to touch on the sports betting and legalized sports betting that is coming to many states and how it might affect horse racing and how we're prepared to confront that challenge as an industry. Alex moderated a panel at the Racing Symposium at the University of Arizona this past week, so we'll spend some time talking with Alex at 9 o'clock Eastern. A very, very busy show. It kicks off next. We'll hear from Jeremy Ballin of the Blood Horse. That's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080 or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Good Magic is now moved up into second, and then it's the tabulator. Bolt Toro has been very wide on both turns. He'd have to be way the best to win from here. They're into the stretch. Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solomini, and Bolt Toro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile under Jose Ortiz. He won it by 5.5 lengths. Solomini was second. Bolt Toro wide on both turns. Third, Give Me a Minute was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Larry Colmus with the call of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Kind of hard to believe that it was just 5 weeks ago that we were at Del Mar watching that event unfold. And, of course, Solomini, who was second to Good Magic in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, will be back in action later today at Los Alamitos. Two grade ones on the card, including that Los Alamitos Futurity. So we'll see if Solomini can redeem himself and get past everybody else in today's Futurity. But, Jude, it's a much different scene in Southern California now, as we talked about at the top of the show.
Yeah, well, they actually canceled racing at Los Alamitos yesterday. So
yep.
Today will be their big day with the two grade ones. But you mentioned Larry Colmus calling that race. He really didn't call the race. Who called the race was Jose Ortiz. that was one of the best sound bites
yep.
that I've ever heard in racing. They had Jose Ortiz mic'd up for that race, and the exuberance. I mean, if you ever want to know how a jockey feels winning a Breeders' Cup race, you just need to replay that little bit of a clip when he's coming down to the wire, and Jose Ortiz, who's won countless races and lots of stakes, just went absolutely berserk on the horse.
Yeah.
I bet you the horse wondered, what is this guy talking about here? Did I do something wrong?
Brilliant idea on the part of NBC to mic up some of the jockeys, including Jose Ortiz. And that was one moment that is now captured in time that was really, really special.
Yeah,
it was cool.
It was funny because when I heard it live, I'm thinking, who is that? Is that the groom? Who's screaming, you know? Where's the microphone? I didn't know if it was a crowd noise thing. And it was just unbelievable. And it's every time I hear it, it just gives me goosebumps. I just love that.
Well, as we told you earlier, Jeremy Ballin of the Blood Horse took the time to visit with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, yesterday on our Express Bet radio show. And Jeremy was on the front line, so to speak, of the horrific tragedy at St. Louis Ray Downs. And here was how that conversation went yesterday afternoon.
Jeremy Ballin from the Blood Horse, who has done a sensational job covering this tragic, tragic event out at St. Louis Ray in that San Diego area. Jeremy, it's Anthony Stabile and Steve Grabowski here on Express Bet Radio. Really, thanks for some time today. I know how swamped you are out there.
Yeah, no problem. It's actually pretty, things have sort of mellowed out here. A lot of people who both work for both Del Mar and Santa Anita and pretty much all the industry stakeholders are doing a lot to still identify as many horses as they can. There's still people looking for some horses that they just don't know where they are right now. So, that list is shrinking as they keep checking horses off the list and, going and getting tattoos and IDing these horses and making phone calls. But, there's still quite a few out there.
You know, I think I speak for a lot of people. I'm 3,000 miles away in New York, just talking to a lot of my horse racing friends and my colleagues, and our colleagues, I should say. You have this helpless feeling. You're there. You're on the ground. I can only imagine what you've seen the past 2 days.
The helplessness, even being here, doesn't go away. As a reporter, I'm just doing the best I can to get the as much information out as I can, and these things that happened and the things that people are describing as to have happened, they're just unimaginable. We're looking at probably a number around 40 horses who died right now. That's the most recent estimate. And it's just the horror and the just awfulness of what occurred at San Luis Rey yesterday. And, this doesn't mean that more horses can't, die because smoke inhalation or exhaustion or it's just awful all the way around. And the great thing and the silver lining of all of this is I drove up to Del Mar after going up to down to San Luis Rey this morning, and you would have thought it was a race day. That's how many people are here to volunteer.
Wow.
And help out. There's just hundreds of people here, and it's very heartening to see that that effort to help these horses.
Yeah, you had sent out a picture, I believe it was you earlier. There's still barns on fire down at San Luis Rey.
Yeah, I left I left L.A. About 4 o'clock this morning to go down. I couldn't get into San Luis Rey. Security had it locked up. I was able to go to another training center across the street where about 100 horses had been relocated to. And as I drove up to San Luis Rey, I mean, the ground was still smoking. The barns were still smoking. And this is, I could only see so much, but it was just absolutely horrifying. You know, the people at Trifecta, which is the kind of the rehabilitation center across the street from San Luis Rey, are doing a great job IDing horses, and people are already coming to pick them up. And they got a lot of horses in there who are burnt or cut up or have lacerations from just running around free. And yesterday they just went out and started picking horses up because they were just running around. I mean, that's how desperate it was yesterday that, you know, to avoid them just getting caught up in the fire, these horsemen had to make the decision to just let their horses run away. That's just, it's unbelievable.
That Leo Tapia video, when you get past how surreal it is as to what he's doing, and then you realize exactly what he is doing.
Right.
We're supposed to not have that proverbial dog in the fight, but I spent the better part of Thursday night just watching these videos and crying my eyes out.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched that video and the images were enough, and I guess I'm sort of desensitized to it a little bit at this point, but what really got me was just the sound. I mean, sorry, there's a water truck going by. just the sound of just panic. That's just what really hit my heart. A panic from the horses. Panic from the horsemen, and just chaos. So,
and there were stampedes.
What's that?
There were stampedes.
Yeah, and it's you know, we have we've reported that there are trainers, Joe Herrick and Martin Belloc. They are currently in the hospital getting treated for burns. I think there's been a groom or two who got trampled over, but considering there were that many loose horses just running around, it's amazing that more people didn't get hurt.
You know, talking with Jeremy Ballin from the Blood Horse, who has been doing an unbelievable job covering the chaos of the San Luis Rey fire. And now we turn our attention, Jeremy, a little bit to the positive, if you will, to the numbers that were saved. You were tweeting out earlier, 250 racehorses, 850 animals in all at Del Mar right now. Have we got any updates on those numbers?
There's actually 260. Thoroughbreds, racing thoroughbreds at Del Mar as of about a half an hour ago. There's 850 total animals. Most of those are horses of other breeds. There's just pretty much every breed you could imagine here. And there's another 100 or so still, I think, at Trifecta. But that number's going down as people are coming and picking up their horses. And then, you know, there's also just horses kind of scattered about the region. I think that one of the most telling stories from yesterday was a trainer, Dan Dunham. He said that it's going to take a long time to figure out where all these horses are because they were literally just putting horses into vans and sending them away just to get out. So, you know, there's a lot of people and who are hopeful that they're going to find their horses. But the sad part is that some of them aren't. And, you know, that's just the sad, sad aspect of all that.
You mentioned that Del Mar was almost like a race day atmosphere there? How's the morale there? You know, I mean, obviously, with a tragedy like this, are people trying to keep their spirits up, just keeping to the task at hand? And what, in fact, is needed at this point, especially at Del Mar?
So what is needed is clothes. So for, you know, some people who are caring for the horses here, you know, just have the clothes that are on their back. So clothes is the top priority right now. What is not needed is, you know, carrots and apples. They've actually had to turn away some just because of the overwhelming donations. So that would be the main thing. And they're also directing people to a GoFundMe page to raise some money. Del Mar and Santa Anita have signed off to say that it's a legit donation avenue, which was something that I was a little concerned with.
Yeah.
Yesterday, when a lot of these things started popping up, and people don't necessarily know where their money is going, so this is the link that is provided. I provided it on Twitter, and I believe it's on both Santa Anita and Del Mar's website. That is, you know, an approved donation spot for to help these horses and these people who have, you know, a lot of these people lost everything, you know. People, they're all their things, the barns, and I mean, there's 9 barns just gone. So, yeah.
And I know we could use some vet help as well, correct?
Yes. There was a certain period of time earlier this morning where they were just announcing over the backside PA, you know, when a vet needed here, and you would just see vets running to wherever they called. And that went on for quite a long time. I mean, there are horses here who are in pretty bad shape with burns and cuts and all different kinds of ailments. So, yes, that would be very helpful as well.
When you get past all the tragedy, especially being there on the scene, it's got to be overwhelming just to see how the whole community just tries to bind together. You know, we've seen it on Twitter and on other social media outlets, just how everybody's really just trying to get together and rally around the scars. I mean, it's been absolutely amazing.
There's no question that, I mean, you had 3 trainers literally go into the fire to try to save their horses at San Luis Rey yesterday. And there's no, you know, we all know how competitive this game is. You know, there's no competitiveness right now. Everybody is bonding together and doing what's best for these animals and for themselves and for each other. I thought an important point that was made today was that the Winners Foundation, which helps people out on the backside with a lot of, you know, drug, alcohol abuse, but also, you know, mental health issues, is that Rick Baedeker with the CHRB said, you know, these horses are traumatized, but, you know, these people are pretty traumatized too. So
sure.
My plea to everybody who knows somebody out here is that if you sense that people are struggling with these things, you know, the things that linger aren't always physical. A lot of them, you know, are a little deeper than that. So if people need help, they need to go get it. And, you know, if you know people who need help, you know, let's get them help. So, you know, these types of things, you know, they have layers more than just what happened in numbers and in physicality and in physical injuries. So I think that's an important point.
Well, Jeremy, thanks for some time today. We'll let you get going. We'll let you get back to doing what you do fantastically. And that's report on what's going on down there. Thank you for keeping us all abreast. If you want to give Jeremy a follow on Twitter, it's at @BH_JBALAN. @BH_JBALAN. He's Jeremy Ballin. Jeremy, continue the great work you're doing. Thank you for keeping us all abreast. I mean, literally, I feel like I'm there with you between the tweets and the pictures and everything. Thanks for some time today, and we'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it.
All right, Jeremy Ballin from the Blood Horse. Some heart-wrenching things coming out in that interview, and you know, you can tell Jeremy a bit emotional, and rightfully so. He was there. He saw everything happen in real time. And our thanks to Jeremy for taking a few minutes to visit with the Big A, Anthony Stabile.
Yeah, it's yeoman's job he's been doing
there,
and everybody appreciates it.
All right, this is typically the point in the show where we would bring you our Lexus Legends of the Turf story. However, because of all of our special guests that we have lined up for you here this morning and the different topics we're going to cover, we will bypass the Legends of the Turf story, but we will bring you that commercial and tell you all about the Lexus store of Lexington, the godfather Tony Attiano, and all the great folks out there. They are horse people. I've been telling you that for more than a decade on this program. They had a mission to become the dealership of the equine industry in Central Kentucky. Guess what? I would say mission accomplished. So many of the people in the thoroughbred industry and the horse industry here driving a brand new Lexus, and for good reason. They are simply outstanding vehicles. Head out there now. Go see the Godfather. Go see everybody at the Lexus store of Lexington. They're on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. They're committed to being part of the horse industry as a sponsor of the Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall. And with a Keeneland shop right there at the Lexus store of Lexington, you can do some shopping and pick out a great gift for the horse racing fan on your list. And pick yourself up a new Lexus, too. Why not? Treat yourself at the Lexus store of Lexington.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
There's so much going on in Lexington in December. The holidays. Want to have a holiday party? Go to Tony's. Basketball. Want to watch this great season of Cats basketball unfold? Go to Tony's Steaks and Seafood. The best food, the best service, the family atmosphere you love. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood, right across from Triangle Park. Visit tonysoflexington.com. And happy holidays.
Power. Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched and keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and classic-placed Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop since returning from Japan are now weanlings and have sold for up to $425,000. Boasting excellent fertility, his 2018 book is limited to 130 mares.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Cual cuerpo al frente justiciero, sigue avanzando, sale ahora la parte de adelante y está a la delantera, quien lo 225 metros finales, pega con no menos de seis cuerpos para el segundo lugar. Por Tosol Justiciero, por siete cuerpos, convirtiéndose en ganador de la triple corona de Puerto Rico.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Penna and Jude Feld coming to you from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Justa Sierra, that was the call of Justa Sierra winning the Triple Crown in Puerto Rico. We will see the Triple Crown winner in action later today at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, as he gets set to contest the Clásico del Caribe. If you're just joining us, this is the very first time that the Clásico del Caribe has ever been contested outside of the Caribbean and Latin America. So it's a really big deal. And Justa Sierra, one of two horses in the race, along with Platino, who is owned by Mark Thatcher, who is with us now on HRN. Mark, welcome, my friend. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Mike? I'm fine. And like everybody, just anxious and waiting for the race.
Yeah, I mean, for people that aren't familiar with the Clásico del Caribe, put this into perspective. What does this race mean to Latin America and the Caribbean?
Oh, it's very easy for us to compare it to the Kentucky Derby. I mean, this is our Derby, no doubt about it. I mean, every horseman in Latin America points towards this race, and early in the year, as three-year-olds, we are looking at our prospects, the ones who we think are going to get there. And definitely we all point towards this as the most important race we have each calendar year.
It's quite a winning streak your horse has been on. And this is kind of like the acid test for class and prestige, eh?
No doubt, no doubt. Yeah, this is the most important race in his life, no doubt. And for every one of these horses, they all, if they win this race, of course, their value for either mare or stud will definitely go up. And not only that, the satisfaction, his connections are going to be very happy if we. Our connections or anybody's connections that win the race, we're definitely going to be very happy if we do it.
Mark, you draw the parallel that the Clásico del Caribe is somewhat like the Kentucky Derby here in the United States. This is the Caribbean version of the Kentucky Derby, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's already a Triple Crown winner, and here in the States, people are used to the Derby being the first leg of the Triple Crown. It's a little different in Puerto Rico. Explain that.
Well, most countries, not only Puerto Rico, have their own Triple Crown races. In our case, we always do it every first Sunday in May. Here in the States, of course, the Kentucky Derby is the first Saturday in May. And our tradition is to do our first leg the first Sunday in May, day after the Kentucky Derby. And then once a month, we run one of the legs, first leg in May, second leg in June, and the third leg in July. And that's our Triple Crown. Of course, after that, then there's another two stakes races that qualify the horses for the Clásico del Caribe. So the Triple Crown doesn't count towards the Clásico del Caribe. So, in our case, Justa Sierra ran in August. That was his last official race, first race to qualify for the Clásico del Caribe, which he won. Then the second race, which was supposed to be held October the 1st, had to be canceled because of the Hurricane Maria. And we were able to put up an exhibition race at the end of October, October 29th, and that served as the second race to qualify, and at the same time, a good preparation race for the Clásico del Caribe.
Yeah, how much effect did the hurricane have on the horsemen in Puerto Rico, and what are we doing looking forward at Camarero?
Well, it was totally devastation. I mean, the Hurricane Maria was something we've never seen before. Hurricane 5 crossing the island from south to north, through the middle of the island, so the whole island was impacted, especially the north end of the island. And in our case, Camarero, the racetrack is in the northeast part of the island, so we were definitely hit very hard. And the barns, the main building, the track, we had to reconstruct most of it. A lot of it hasn't been done yet because in order for us to race, you know, we don't need restaurants or anything like that. We just need the racetrack and the barns to be okay, and the rest is equipment, like, you know, teletimer, Photoshop, and that type of stuff. And photo finish, I'm sorry. So in that regards, we all move quickly, and hopefully we're going to run again. As a matter of fact, inscriptions were held yesterday. So we are going to race again on next Friday, Friday the 15th of December. Accommodator's back, and we're going to start with 3 days of racing per week.
Mark Thatcher, our special guest here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, of course, has two horses going in today's Clásico del Caribe at Gulfstream Park, including the Puerto Rican Triple Crown winner, Justa Sierra. Mark, what would a victory by one of your horses mean for Puerto Rico, considering everything that's happened over the past couple of months?
I can't describe the answer to that question. I can't describe it to words. It's, you know why? Because I never thought of it until I got here the last couple of days. People have flying in from Puerto Rico, and then yesterday was a very special day because we were walking through a mall, which is very close to the racetrack, my wife, myself, and my kids. And all of a sudden, around 15 people dressed, all of them with the same polo shirt, which was the Puerto Rican flag in their shirts. And as soon as they saw me, they all ran to me and wished me the best. They all wanted to take pictures. Hopefully a lady, she was like 82 or 84 years old, and she came up to me. She said she was going to pray for my horse. Puerto Rican people are really into this. I mean, they really want this victory. It would mean so much for the island, and of course I would be happy too, but I get the sense now this is not my horse anymore. I mean, this is the Puerto Rican people's horse, and they're all behind him. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's a great international event. When we were there last week and driving into the track, I commented to Mike about the flags of the different you know, nations and the horses represented, and it's just there's always something about representing your home when you go to another country, and you know, even though Puerto Rico's part of the United States, it's also its own entity in itself, and you're running against, you know, Venezuela and Panama and all these, Mexico, all these other countries, and it's a sense of pride for the people. And I know Mr. Ramsey always talks about when he races internationally, whether it's at Royal Ascot or Garrison Savannah in Barbados or Canada, he takes a sense of pride of representing you know, his country wherever he goes, and I think that's the same for all the participants today.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree.
Justa Sierra, Platino, both owned by Mark Thatcher, our special guest on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, Justa Sierra, a three-year-old son of Coach Billy G. How'd you find this guy?
Well, Justa Sierra, we bought him at a auction, so horse sale down in Puerto Rico. One, his breeder is a very small operation. They breed like 20, 25 horses a year, so they don't put out so many horses on the ring. So in my case, I came up to Justa Sierra, believe it or not, looking at the pictures for that sale on their Facebook page, and I looked at all 20, 25 horses, and all of a sudden when I came to Justa Sierra, I said, wow, he just impacted me right away. And I've never had bought a horse from these breeders. It was first time I was even going to their sale. I went to the sale, and I looked at the horse personally a couple days before the sale and then the day of the sale. And again, he impacted me very positive. I thought he was athletic, very strong horse. Well, good confirmation and nice head. So I decided to buy him. And for my surprise, I mean, I got him for a relative cheap price in my estimation. He cost $15,500. So that's what I paid for him, and the rest is history. He's owned quite well.
Yeah, he's already banked $208,000 and quite possibly more on the way this afternoon.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Well, Mark, it's a very special day for you. I know it's a busy day, so we will let you go. All the best in the Clásico del Caribe and with all your runners on that program this afternoon. And go get them for Puerto Rico, my friend.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you all. And hopefully we can be proud after this race this afternoon. If not, if we don't win the race, doesn't matter. I mean, I know the horse is going to run a good race. But we're hoping for the best.
All right, good luck, Mark. Mark Thatcher with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, Mark is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Don't forget that you can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. And with the holidays right around the corner, why not head over to EmbraceTheRace.com and pick out a nice gift for that horse racing fan on your list? I know they will absolutely love it. It's EmbraceTheRace.com. What a great event. The whole day at Gulfstream today is simply spectacular.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It was a fun card to handicap and a lot of good races before the Clásico races start. And the whole card's really cool.
Yeah, outstanding card. And that Clásico del Caribe coming up at 4:45 Eastern time this afternoon. That is the post for the Clásico del Caribe. So if you want to check it out and watch it on ExpressBet or TwinSpires or whatever it might be, and you want to watch it on TV, you can do that on ExpressBet TV too. It's a 4:45 Eastern time this afternoon. We're going to get to another break. We will come back and get you set for the second half of the program. It's a busy show. It rolls on next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce the brilliantly talented American Freedom for the 2018 breeding season. The last top son of the great sire of sires pulpit, American Freedom was a sensational graded stakes winner, defeating all three classic winners of his generation, while besting the great Gunrunner both times they met. His Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, said, quote, American Freedom was a freak. He had more natural talent than most Grade 1 winners I've trained. Airdrie Stud's newest sensation, American Freedom. Think about it.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, we just talked about the Clásico del Caribe in the previous segment. And if you're looking to win a trip to the Florida Derby in 2018, well, you can do it with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with our good friends at Gulfstream Park. And here's the way it works. The contest actually launched last week, but because of the structure and the points standings and the way it all works, you can enter anytime and still have an opportunity to win the grand prize of a trip for two to the Florida Derby in 2018. Head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. At the very top, you're going to see a banner that will link you to the contest page. The contest for this afternoon has to do with one race and one race only. It is the Clásico del Caribe at Gulfstream Park. That's the only race that matters. So what we're going to ask you to do is to enter a selection and an alternate selection for today's Clásico del Caribe. If your horse finishes first, you're going to be awarded 10 points. If your horse finishes second, you'll be awarded 7 points. And if your horse finishes third, you will be awarded 5 points. That's how the scoring works in our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge. It's all pretty simple. But make sure that you are only selecting a horse for today's Clásico del Caribe. I know last week we received multiple entries that had Derby horses selected and horses that were not competing in the designated contest race. So make sure you are selecting it. Your entry will only count if you are making a selection for the Clásico del Caribe.
Yeah, and last week we had somebody try to enter as soon as the race was over.
Yeah, you can't do that either.
No.
That will not count.
I was born at night, but not last night.
Yeah, we do have timestamps on the entries,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, so don't try to be tricky or, you know, you'll get an email saying hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, it's a fun contest. Again, all of the rules, all of the selection process, all of that is laid out for you on our website, horseracingradio.net. Again, your primary selection will be the horse that you pick first. If that horse is scratched, we'll go to your alternate selection. If both your primary and alternate selection scratch, then you'll be awarded the actual wagering post-time favorite when the race goes off. So that's how it all works. It's real simple, real clean, real easy to play, and it's a lot of fun. Enter every single week on our website, and every week we'll have one designated contest race. It will be Gulfstream's feature race every Saturday afternoon, and you can check back and enter and play. But today is the Caribbean Classic. 4:45 Eastern is the post. You have to have your selection in by 4:15 Eastern time. It's the Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, a trip for two on the line to the 2018 Florida Derby, and an invitation to join Jude and I on the show that Saturday morning live from Gulfstream.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, that's the grand prize.
Yeah.
I mean, the airfare, the hotel, all that kind of stuff is nice, but you get to come on the air with us. That should be the lead story.
We get to find out how you did it.
Yes, that's right, too. Well, they pick more winners than everybody else.
Yeah, but how did they do that?
Yeah.
That's what we want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, don't forget you can do that now, and you have until 4:15 Eastern to get your pick in. It's all there, horseracingradio.net. Speaking of our website, you can check out podcasts of all of our programming there, too. And we had a really enjoyable visit on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton this past Wednesday evening. Catherine Day Phillips joined us from Woodbine and told her story, told some really funny stories about some of the horses that she has had come through her care. And we received a lot of great compliments from people who enjoyed that program. And you can check out the podcast on our site now.
Yeah, it was a fun program. There were several comedic highlights.
She's great. She is great.
I think, well, the best one was the lunatic on the picnic table at Saratoga, which we want you to listen, so we won't reveal who that is. But then
right,
there was another one when she was talking about her husband's homemade pizza, and you said, is that a chain?
Yeah, I asked her at the end of the program. I'll spell this out for you, okay, and I'll throw myself under the bus. But at the end of the program, I asked her what her favorite food was, and if she could eat anything at all, what would it be? And she said, her husband, Todd, She said, Todd's Homemade Pizza. And I said, oh, is that next to Woodbine somewhere? And she said, well, my husband, Todd. And then we promptly invited ourselves over to her house when we go back for the Queen's Plate.
You kind of invited us.
Hey, she said pizza, wine, and then she talked about her favorite desserts. And it was chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream and mint chocolate chip ice cream, which are my two favorites as well. So this is just a match made in heaven for me.
There you go. I think that was evident a long time ago.
I think absolutely so. All right, well, head over to our website, check out that show and all of our podcasts. They're all there for you at horseracingradio.net. All right, busy second half of the show. It kicks off in just a couple of minutes with Alex Waldrop, who is the president and CEO of the NTRA. He was part of a panel, actually moderated the panel, talking about legalized sports betting and how the racing industry is prepared to handle this new challenge. And is it a challenge to the racing industry? We'll talk to Alex about that at 9 o'clock Eastern. And then our good friend Jeff Bloom, Bloom Racing, Horse Racing Radio Network analyst, he'll be with us at 9:25 Eastern time to talk more about what's happening on the West Coast and that tragedy at San Luis Rey Downs. We're back with hour number two. Right after we pause, 10 seconds for station identification, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Forever Unbridled. Abel Tasman charging but running out of time. Forever Unbridled's going to do it. Forever Unbridled has won the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
It is Irish War Cry. And on the outside, Taprit. Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish War Cry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second, then Neolithic. Back forth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus. He won it by 3.5.
They're into the stretch. Good Magic's in front. Good Magic pulls away from Solo Mini, and Bolt Toro will not get there today. Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN, Barron, and Pontiff. That's Penna and Feld together with you. Live from our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios and spending a lot of time this morning reflecting on the tragedy at San Luis Rey Downs and the horrific events that took place when fire engulfed the barn area, many of the barns at that facility this past week. And you heard from Jeremy Ballin of the Blood Horse in the first half of the show spelling out exactly what was happening as these events were taking place. We're going to visit with our good friend Jeff Bloom coming up in just a few minutes, and he'll talk more about what's going on at Del Mar and the relief efforts. And Jeff had three horses on site at San Luis Rey. One of those was let loose and missing. They have since found that horse, and we'll talk more about that tragic occurrence coming up later in the second hour of the show. If you missed any portion of the first half, well, all you have to do is head to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast at your leisure. It's horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. JT, we touched on this at the top of the show, but there are people who may be just joining us now. According to reports, it appears that more than 40 horses have perished from the fires that engulfed San Luis Rey, and so many people now reaching out to help those affected, not just the horses and the horsemen, but the grooms who lost pretty much everything. And we've seen an outpouring of support from the thoroughbred industry, from people outside the industry, and it's a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah, it's just fantastic. Just proves once again what a tight-knit family horse racing is and how people care about one another in our sport and really try to put their best foot forward when something like this happens.
There is a GoFundMe page that has been established to help those individuals who need it most, and it's GoFundMe.com/thoroughbred care. That's GoFundMe.com/thoroughbred care. Head there now and make your donation and support those who have, again, lost pretty much everything. Currently, the total is up to 400 $22,341. That's pretty good. I think it was $416,000 when we opened the show. So it is growing. People are contributing. Help if you can. It doesn't matter if you can give $10 or $10,000. Whatever you can do will help. GoFundMe.com/thoroughbredcare is the way to help. Well, I know one person who will be helping and one organization that will be helping is the NTRA, and we have the privilege now of being joined by Alex Waldrop, who is the president and CEO of that organization. Alex, welcome to the show, my friend. Good morning.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your having me on. I also appreciate the important words you had just spoken and all of the support and coverage you've given this situation out in Southern California, which is first and foremost a tragedy, something that has, I think, deeply affected all of us in the industry. I think of all the horses that have been lost. I think especially of the trainer who is in intensive care, that the kind of love and concern she must have had to put herself in harm's way. It has impacted me, like so many in our business, on an emotional, on a visceral level. And you look at these situations out, and you look at these, all the many, well, this has been a rough year for horse racing in Houston and Puerto Rico, here now in Southern California. And ordinarily you look at the news and you don't feel it personally, but this hits so close to home for so many of us. And it has been heartening to see people reaching out. We are working with the folks at Santa Anita, the Stronic Group, Del Mar for their relief effort works, also with the Thoroughbred Owners of California. They've been helpful as well. So we're working with our members and with folks all over Southern California. And there are other breeds affected as well. Kudos to Del Mar for providing a safe place for horses from all over the Southern California area. And the problem isn't over yet. These fires are continuing to erupt around the area. They move quickly, and they create emergency situations instantaneously, which is one of the reasons why you had such a horrific scene at the San Luis Rey, where people couldn't get in to get their horses out. And I just feel so strongly that this is a time when we need to and have, in fact, pulled together. So I'm heartened by that, but I remain deeply concerned about the loss of horses and the people who've been affected so deeply by this. And so we at the NTRA certainly are thinking about them this morning, doing whatever we can, and this is not going to end today. This is going to go on for some time, and we'll work with everyone else. I appreciate your reference to the GoFundMe page. That's I've sent people there as well from my Twitter feed. There are many good charities out there, and I don't mean to choose one or another, but if someone wants to use GoFund, that's the official page. They can be confident that money's going to go for the effort. So. Yep.
There's lots of different ways to contribute, whether it's using your personal skills at Del Mar or calling one of the local tax shops and sending them money for whatever happens to be needed. I think anybody that's been intimately involved with the thoroughbred business felt some pain the last couple days. And it's a real tribute to the people in our sport that they're willing to pull together under any circumstance to help one another. And it's a fabulous thing to see.
It is, and I'll have to say that the industry trade associations or the industry trade magazines, our press, you, the Blood Horse, the DRF, the Pollock Report, so many good. I was traveling yesterday, and if I had been relying on more traditional mainstream press to get my information, I would have known nothing, although I understand NPR did a very good piece on what happened. But I was in places yesterday where I could not have learned anything but for all the online presence and coverage. You mentioned Jeremy Vallon, who I think he has risen to the top in this. I think he's located there in Southern California. But I appreciate the industry media at times like this, too. It's one of the advantages of being a niche industry. We have a media that knows and cares, and I thank them as well.
Yeah, well said, Alex.
And
Waldron.
You as well. You are an industry media too. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Alex. We appreciate it. And anything we can do to help get the word out and let people know how they can help, we're here to do it. And our thoughts, our prayers are with everybody affected by that horrific occurrence at San Luis Rey this past week. Let's shift gears for just a minute here, Alex. Alex Waldrop, President and CEO of the NTRA, with us on HRRN. Alex, you were returning from the Symposium on Racing yesterday. That's why you were traveling. You were out there to moderate a panel that was titled, Is Racing Ready for Legalized Sports Betting? And it was a panel that included attorney Mark Dunbar, associate at IFRA Law, that's Jessica Feel, Mike Grodzki, who is the director of marketing with William Hill. They were all part of that panel. You moderated, as I mentioned. Take us back through the panel. What are some of the issues and some of the things that came out of that panel that you think are pertinent and important for people to know as it pertains to the thoroughbred industry?
Sure. The reason for the panel and the reason for a lot of the focus on sports betting right now is the fact that the Supreme Court, surprising many, including myself, agreed to hear an appeal of a case out of New Jersey, Christie v. the NCAA. It is a case that is looking at the constitutionality of something called the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act. We call it PASPA for short. It's been around for decades. It was passed in an attempt to essentially declare a moratorium on sports betting in the United States. At the time of its passage, you had sports betting only in Nevada and to a limited extent in Delaware, Oregon, and one other state that I can't remember. It's a small state, and it's an insignificant state. In fact, I don't think they still have sports betting there. Essentially, the rule said, it's a federal statute, said you have 1 year if you're a state to adopt sports betting, and if you don't, you're prohibited from adopting it or authorizing it in the future. New Jersey failed to authorize it in that 1 year, and they now have second thoughts. They came back into 2012. They tried to pass a statute. Governor Christie was defiant and said, we're going to do it in New Jersey no matter what. Well, the sports leagues have a chance under the statute. They enforce the ban. And they sued, and they stopped them. The Supreme Court refused to hear an appeal of that action by the Third Circuit in the Northeast. Dennis Drazen at Monmouth Park had a brilliant idea. He said, well, there's an exception here. There's maybe a very narrow way we can come back and get this done, not by approving sports betting, but in effect by deregulating it and letting it happen only at the racetrack and the casinos. That, then, was a second lawsuit brought by the NCAA and others to stop it. It made its way through the Third Circuit. The NCAA and the sports leagues won at every level. But surprisingly, the Supreme Court said, we want to hear this case, and we want to decide whether this PASPA is constitutional. Shocked all of us. So today, or on Monday of this week, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments on this case. And surprising all of us, there seemed to be six and maybe seven justices who would vote in some way to strike down PASPA, which means, and that could happen sometime in the spring or early summer, which means we very quickly in this country and we, the horse racing industry, could be dealing with a groundswell of sports betting across the country. How that plays out is yet to be determined. It could happen one of three ways, actually. And that complicates us even further, and it's sort of a lawyer's dream, but it's nightmarishly and complicated. The court could say, no, the rule is fine. We've looked at it. PASPA is constitutional, and we're going to do nothing. That seems unlikely. They could come in and say PASPA is entirely unconstitutional. We strike it, and then all bets are off. Any state can adopt any form of sports betting they wish. That would be a very competitive scenario for us. Opportunities, yes, but also very competitive for horse racing. A third scenario, one that, frankly, Monmouth Park would prefer, I think, a little more nuanced or a little more complicated would be what they call a partial repeal, which means that it could go forward in states that decide to deregulate sports wagering, that effectively take advantage of the loophole that Monmouth is taking advantage of, and privately regulate sports gambling in their states. A very narrow exception to PASPA. Will the Supreme Court try that route, or will they completely strike down the law? That's the big question here, and I would say it's a 50-50 chance. I think most everybody agrees they will lift the ban in some respects. Will they lift it on a limited basis, or will they lift it entirely? That's the big question. It's a coin toss, and we'll know that in about, I'm going to say, 6 to 8 months. This term of the Supreme Court ends in late June, so by the end of June, we'll know the answer to that. And Monmouth Park, I think, will be the early beneficiary. After that, we'll have to wait and see how this plays out. Mark Dunbar was one of the speakers. He felt that a partial repeal was the most likely scenario, that being the one where only those states that could deregulate sports wagering in such a way that it could be conducted by private individuals. He thinks that's the way this is going to play out. That would be, from a competition perspective, that would probably be preferable for horse racing, because that would keep it limited to those few states who would choose that route. That is a very unusual route. I don't think there are many states that would immediately jump on that, because deregulating sports gambling would seem in most people's minds to be risky, and so it might not spread as quickly. If the court decides we're just simply going to strike PASPA in its entirety, you have three states right now who have already adopted sports betting, and it would happen that the next day. The very day that it struck, they have laws in place, and they would begin sports gambling. One of those is Pennsylvania. That means you'll have several racetracks or racinos in Pennsylvania, including parks, who would be positioned to start sports betting on the day that is struck. Mississippi would also go forward, and Connecticut is ready. There are about 7 or 8 other states in the U.S. that are looking at adopting some form of sports betting. I would call these states with horse racing. California is looking at this. Maryland is looking at this. New York. Those are three that come to mind, the major racing states that are serious about some form of sports betting, whether or not it will be at the racetrack or whether it will be part of the menu offered at a racetrack remains to be seen. One of the things we talked about was how important it was for racing associations and horsemen's groups to get together to plot a strategy in your state to see what the best way for you to proceed to protect racing's interests at the state level. At the same time, whatever happens with PASPA, there is an ongoing effort at the federal level. A bill that was introduced on Monday called the GAME Act. It was introduced by a congressman from New Jersey, and that piece of legislation would repeal PASPA and would authorize sports wagering across the country. It would not create a structure for it per se. It wouldn't be federally regulated, but there would be certain minimum requirements that states would have to meet. Age restrictions. They would have to have certain integrity protections in place before they could authorize it at the state level. That's another route that this could proceed, irrespective of what happens at the Supreme Court level. I don't see the federal effort moving forward very quickly. This same congressman has had a similar bill introduced for the last 4 Congresses, and it hasn't moved. But the Supreme Court's actions are making this, I think, a higher sense of urgency. And so we had a great conversation. There were other things we talked about, including other types of gambling that are out there on the horizon. Believe it or not, esports was something we talked a fair amount about. The fact that millennials especially are getting more and more involved in competitive video gaming. And that has a real potential for wagering. In fact, Vegas and other places are looking at it for parimutuel wagering purposes. It's kind of scary because you've got a lot of underage competitors. So I think it's not likely to catch on anytime soon, but it's on the radar now. And in 10 years, 5 years, it's going to be something to be contended with. But today, our major concern is the repeal, the full repeal or partial repeal of PASPA, and what that might mean for horse racing. Is horse racing ready for it? I'd say in general, some places are, certain organizations are. But if this proceeds on a state-by-state basis, each state's going to have to will present unique challenges, and the associations in those states will need to be prepared. NTRA is ready to help any way we can. Our focus will be mostly at the federal level, where we have a seat at the table for any discussions with the American Gaming Association, a variety of the big casinos. They're looking at their opportunities at the federal level. Will it be online? Will it be brick and mortar only? That's a big question. From a competitive standpoint, there's some fear of this moving online, having sports betting online. It would be competitive with our advanced deposit wagering companies, TwinSpires, TVG, ExpressBet, NairaBets, and others. But on the other hand, I know that some of those organizations would like to get in that business. And so we've got to look at this from a broader perspective. I know TVG, for instance, in particular, would like to see an online component to the sports betting proposition. So there's some challenges here. There are some real challenges for horse racing. It will certainly be competitive. We'll be able to deal with the competition. Two minds there. The horse sports bettors are horse players, and horse players are sports bettors. A lot of overlap there, unlikely casino environment. So maybe there's opportunity in that respect. Also, with an expanded betting menu to include sports, you now can look at things like fixed odd wagering. You can look at a variety of different, very unique combinations. So you can do some very different things with your wagering menu that you can't now do in most states, or really the most outside of exchange wagering, which is only available in New Jersey. You don't really have any fixed odd wagering in this country. You don't really have any of the things that are standard throughout the rest of the world. I know fixed odds wagering has been very good in Australia. So it's as always with things, you look at the environment that we're in, and you see some threats, but you also see some opportunities. And how we proceed in the next 6 months is going to decide a lot for the future of horse racing.
Alex Waldrop, president and CEO of the NTRA, laying everything out for you on the issues facing the sport and what legalized sports betting might mean on a lot of different levels. And if you can't tell, there are a lot of layers to this issue and a lot of things still yet to be decided in the months to come. Alex, only about 2 minutes or so left before we have to get to our next commercial break here. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, from the NTRA perspective and from the industry perspective, does the industry view legalized sports betting only as a competitive entity, or is there some opportunity there to bring people out and to get people gambling that might then turn around and bet on horse racing too?
I see a lot of operators who look at this as an opportunity. There's more crossover. So let's face it. Wagering on horse racing is a sports betting proposition. We are the first and the oldest sports betting perhaps in the world. So sports bettors who come to bet on the NFL, they're probably betting horses already. So you're bringing a group of people into the racetrack, hopefully, if you can get them in the track, that are going to stay and bet the horses. So that's the opportunity. But if it moves online or if it doesn't, if there are facilities that aren't connected to the racetrack, then it becomes competitive. Then the racetrack has to do, and horsemen together have to do some of these unique, provide some unique betting menus, fixed odd wagering, maybe the whole concept of exchange wagering becomes more important, which is a form of fixed odd wagering as well that as I mentioned, is in New Jersey now. So it's going to require some creativity. It's going to require innovation. I think horse racing can do that. We innovated into ourselves when we moved into the online world. We have made that transition successfully. Few businesses have done it quite as well as we have, frankly. We don't often congratulate ourselves for that, but we have done that. And I think we have the ability to innovate and to respond in this situation as well. But it's tricky, especially if it's done on a state-by-state basis. Then it becomes more complicated, more time-consuming, and even expensive. So we'll look after things at the federal level. At the state level, that's going to be a little more complicated, a little more challenging. Tracks and horsemen need to get together, and I'm available at any time to talk and to advise and to help folks put together a plan. We have some ideas about how to innovate, but it's going to take work and vigilance to make sure you know what's happening in your state and you stay on top of it as an entity, as an industry.
Alex Waldrip, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is indeed going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion and wear what you love at embracetherace.com. Alex, as always, really appreciate the visit. Thank you so much for spelling everything out. Well done, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon, and happy holidays, my friend.
Thank you, sir. You the same to you. Take care.
All right, keep up the great work. Alex Waldrip, NTRA, here on HRN. So many different levels to that issue, and so many things that can happen between now and the time that the Supreme Court meets on this decision. It's a bit of a head scratcher when you start thinking through all the different scenarios that could take place.
Yeah, I see a lot of good coming out of it. First of all, you know, the prices on sports betting are pretty dismal. I mean, you're looking at a lot of even monies or less, you know, when you can love a horse that's 15-1. And really make some money.
If you're going to bet on horse racing, you're going to bet on horse racing. If you're going to bet football games, you're going to bet football games. It's two completely different types of gambling, right? It's a lot like casino gaming, right? Yeah. If you're going to go play craps, you're going to play craps. If you're going to bet horses, you're going to bet horses. Two completely different things. I don't think it hurts. I think it brings people out that might not necessarily be gambling normally, and all of a sudden they get a look at a horse race up there and they say, geez, you know, I just bet the Pittsburgh Steelers and I just won, so let me head over here and throw a few bucks on the 8, who's 10-1, right? It doesn't hurt. I don't think it can hurt necessarily.
Yeah. I don't think it necessarily can hurt. I think horse players, they're not going to lose any horse players because people don't like short prices.
Right.
So as a rule, I mean, unless you're betting, you know, big money on a short price, then there's really no sense in taking it.
We've been spending a lot of time talking about the San Luis Rey tragedy and the ways that you can help. Jeff Bloom, who works with us on the network, he runs Bloom Racing. He had three horses at San Luis Rey. He's going to join us after our next commercial break to tell us about the relief efforts and everything that's been ongoing. He's been front and center at Del Mar each and every day trying to help out as much as he can. We'll hear from Jeff in just a couple of minutes. But how about this? Coolmore America and Mike Rapoli are offering a no-guarantee season to Uncle Mo for the 2018 breeding season, which will benefit the wildfire relief efforts in California. This is a great story. All bids should be submitted in writing through the sales team at Ashford Stud, and you can get a hold of Adrian Wallace. That's Adrian MW at coolmore.com. Phone number 859-327-8302. That's 859-327-8302. Also, you want to CC Gary King. That's Gary King at thetdn.com. Do all of that by Wednesday, the 13th of December at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Proceeds raised will be donated to the horsemen and horses affected by the tragedy through the Horses First Fund, administered by the Thoroughbred Charities of America and founded by Ellen J. Foxwood. So some good stuff there from Coolmore America and Mike Rapoli. Tip your cap doing some good things to help out that relief effort from the wildfires. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back. Our Blood Horse News update is next, and then Jeff Bloom. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back.
Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Spendthrift Farm presents Gormley. A dominant front-runner stakes winner in his second start at two.
Gormley with a two-and-a-half-length lead. Gormley wins the front-runner.
A $1 million Santa Anita Derby winner at three.
Gormley takes the lead, and Gormley wins the Santa Anita Derby.
He joins Orb as Malibu Moon's only multiple Grade 1 winning millionaires at stud. Gormley, new for 2018 to Spendthrift Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
It's Indulgent with the lead, and Indulgent has pulled off the upset. Indulgent wins it at 12-1 under jockey Louis Saez.
Indulgent, the half-sister to Darley stallion Frosted, took the Grade 3 Gopher Juan this past Saturday at Aqueduct, becoming Bernardini's 18th graded stakes winner on dirt over the past 3 years. Only Tappet has more. And that winning performance makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Bernardini, a proven sire of both the Superstar Racehorse and the Sales Ring Smash. Grade 1 winners produced by Bernardini include Cavorting, Alpha Stay Thirsty to Honor and Serve, and 2017 Grade 1 Vosburg hero Tekoffel. Only Tappet can top his 7 Grade 1 winners on dirt since 2013. Learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
At the top of the stretch, he's stylish on the inside of McKenzie. Smith looks confident on McKenzie. He now gives he's stylish the slip. Kicks away by 2.5 lengths mid-stretch. Shiver Me Timbers third, and the rest are a minute away, but McKenzie has them beaten to a frazzle. A very impressive debut score by McKenzie, taking it by 5 lengths over his stylish Shiver Me Timbers. A long way clear of Majestic Eagle from a clear last into the superfecta at any old odds.
McKenzie, very impressive in breaking his maiden. That was at Santa Anita back on October 28th. And McKenzie back in action later today at Los Alamitos in the Grade 1 Los Alamitos Futurity. We'll talk more about that race as we move toward the end of the program this morning. But want to get you caught up on everything that's happening with the situation with the fires at San Luis Rey Training Center in Bonsall, California. We'll do that with our good friend and colleague Jeff Bloom here momentarily. But it is time now for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, a trainer suffers severe burns in that San Luis Rey fire. Trainer Martine Belloc suffered second and third degree burns over 50% of her body while trying to rescue her horses during the December 7th fire at San Luis Rey Training Center. Belloc's brother-in-law, Remy Belloc, reported December 8th that Martine was airlifted to UC San Diego Medical Center, where she is being treated for the burns. Doctors have put her in an induced coma as they treat her. Remy said, quote, "She's in intensive care right now." And that was on Friday morning. Yesterday morning, he added that the doctors examined Martine's lungs and found no significant damage. Our best to Martine and all of those affected by that horrific tragedy in California. That's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. We remind you that Blood Horse Magazine has been covering thoroughbred racing and breeding for more than 100 years and is the industry's only weekly magazine. If you want to follow the sport and the industry, there's no better way than with Blood Horse Magazine. And here's a very special offer for you for the holidays. Get a year of Blood Horse Magazine and tablet for only $79 and get a 2018 Blood Horse wall calendar free. Go to bloodhorse.com/winter special. Mike Penna, Jude Feld here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We have spent a lot of time this morning, rightfully so, talking about the fire that engulfed San Luis Rey earlier this week. And our good friend Jeff Bloom of Bloom Racing had three horses stabled at that training center. And it was, as he put it to me in a text message yesterday when I asked him to come on the show, tragic and terrifying. And Jeff, I couldn't have said it better. It has to be just absolutely terrifying to be there at ground zero, so to speak.
Well, and just consumed with helplessness as well. I was torn because where we're located is right in the middle between San Luis Rey and Del Mar. And Mike, there was an extremely long line of folks waiting to get into San Luis Rey Downs with transportation for the horses, vans, and it was blocked. And so I figured I can sit here and wait and never get in, or go back or go down towards Del Mar when the folks that are already inside start getting those horses out. And, I can tell you it's just, extreme horror at what was going on and the fact that there was no way to do anything about it for such a long time.
When you decided to return to Del Mar, I imagine you could do a lot of good there with your experience and expertise. What was that like when you got to Del Mar?
I was amazed, Jude, that there was already so many people on the ground there assisting with the efforts. And, keep in mind, not only was it the evacuation of San Luis Rey Downs racehorses, but outlying areas had the need to get their large animals out of there as well. So Del Mar and the folks at Del Mar really did an amazing job of getting together quickly to get the word out and set up the backstretch so that it could accommodate, the livestock. And so when I got there was already long lines of people offering to assist with the care of the animals. And in addition to that, already dropping off so many supplies. And what they had done is they had set up the western side of the backstretch for the thoroughbred. And there was a number of us just there waiting and hoping. And there was so much, confusion as to when and if those vans were going to get into the downs. And every time you heard something, it was a mixed message of what was going on and which horses were on there. We were all just sitting and waiting. But by the time I got to Del Mar, there was already most of the barns had already been bedded down with, straw, shavings. Food was set up, and so we were just kind of standing around waiting and getting ready to start unloading the horses. And when they started coming in, it started slow at first, and then all of a sudden there was just this barrage of vans, which I can't tell you how excited all of us were to see these coming in. The one thing that stands out more than anything else, guys, is the first couple of horses came in from trainer Peter Miller's barn, and they were on just a two-horse kind of private van, and for the most part they were in good shape, but you could tell and quite distressed and just really heated up, and the first horse that we put into the stall drank the biggest bucket of water I had ever seen in my life so fast, and it was just so sad, knowing how much this horse had gone through. And It was just you couldn't get enough water to these horses when they arrived.
Jeff, how horrifying was it for you to get the news that one of your horses was among those that were let loose and was running around and just trying to find his way?
It was gut-wrenching, Mike. You know, we had the three horses there, and that was the other thing. There was a lot of confusion about who was where, who was doing what vans, if at all, horses got on. And so we knew right away through Richard Baltus's assistant that two of his horses had broken through their webbing. Richard Baltus and Michelle DeLossi, those were two barns that were the safest, that were just out of, for the most part, for the time being, out of harm's way and hadn't caught fire. And so smartly, you know, those horses were left in the barns. And, of course, they were monitoring it real time. When I got word that Dream Police was out, of course, extreme fear, because it's so dangerous for those horses, obviously, to be, you know, running loose. And oftentimes the horses will run into the fire. And so not only did you not know exactly where he was at, but whether he could get caught. When we started unloading horses at Del Mar, I had gotten word that they caught Dream Police. They had put him on a van and he was safe and on his way over with like the first lot. So of course, extreme excitement over that. When we started unloading the horses, as it turns out, he was not. And so on one hand, you know, we were kept busy unloading horses and trying to make sure the horses had their, what they needed in their stalls. All the while, every time a horse van would come up, I would, you know, look for one of my horses. And it took a long time for one of my horses to come out of one of those vans. And oddly enough, Dream Police, the horse that I was told was caught and was one of the first ones, as time went on, it was like, we don't know if he got on a van. And he literally ended up being like the last horse to make it in that night. And so I can't tell you how much relief. And Ruben, Richard's assistant trainer, who's a tough guy, been in this game a long time, when he talks about seeing Dream Police get off that van, the emotion, you know, the tears welling up in his eyes and just the overall relief that here's a horse that we all assumed didn't make it, because many of those loose horses didn't. It tears at your heart.
Talking with our good friend, HRN colleague, and proprietor of Bloom Racing, that is Jeff Bloom here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As you can hear, Jeff is in California now. He has been part of the relief efforts, trying to do everything he can to help those that are affected by that fire at San Luis Rey Downs. Jeff, we went ahead and gave out the GoFundMe page address. I'm going to do it one more time while I have you on the phone. People can donate to help the relief efforts by going to GoFundMe.com/thoroughbred care. That's GoFundMe.com/thoroughbred care. The total currently up to more than $425,000 raised to help those individuals who have been displaced, that both the humans and the horses. And as you're laying out a tragic situation, what can you tell us about some of the relief efforts and everything positive that's taking place to help those affected?
I will tell you, and I think it's been the theme that most people who are talking about this situation have expressed, is there's just complete unity. The community has rallied together, private, public. Everybody is on board sort of assisting with looking after not only the horses but the humans as well that have been so affected by this, not only from a dollars and cents part of it, but just from the volunteers who have been tireless in heading over to Del Mar to do anything they can to provide, assist, supplies, assist with the folks who have no homes and lost everything over there in that particular part of the county. And that continues. I mean, you know, the one concern is that, you know, after a few days, this starts slipping away. But the reality is there's the good system in place. And there's so many people who really are giving up everything to just spend time making sure everybody is well taken care of. And information's flowing really well in terms of what's needed, what's not needed, how you can help. And so, you know, thankfully, this entire racing community, as well as the local community, has stepped up in ways that really makes you feel good about what's going on out here.
I noticed some photos on Twitter of the horses now settled in and everything kind of looks normal. I realize a couple snapshots doesn't get the whole picture, but you know, it seems like the horses seem happy. They're looking out their stalls. Some of them are actually jogging on the track and stuff. How much of a return to normal has it been for these horses as they settle into Del Mar?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jude, because as you know, for the most part, these horses are quite resilient, and the horses that really physically didn't end up with, you know, burns or cuts or gashes from banging into things appear to have just settled in, and it looks like, oh, okay, it's another Del Mar. We kind of recognize these surroundings, and things are somewhat getting back to normal with the shed rows getting raked, the feed coming into their stalls normally. The one big question that I have, and I think a lot of others have, is, you know, this was a very traumatic situation, and the emotions and the mental aspects of what all these horses went through, you have to wonder, because they are live beings, how that's going to affect them when it comes time to put tack on them or to do things with them or to get them back on another van. I don't even know how to begin to describe, you know, what many people saw of those images of what these horses were going through. But you're right. There is some sense of normalcy that has been established here at Del Mar with these horses, and it feels as though so many of these operations are already back in the regular routine. I guess the big question will be is when it comes time to try to do stuff with these horses and they go back to racing, will they have that same sort of level of competitiveness and desire to do what they're supposed to do out there on the racetrack?
Jeff, we have to get to a commercial break in about a minute or maybe a little bit less than that, but how about your personal situation with your house? Everything okay there?
So far, so good. That was the scary part, too, the first night, Mike, was when we were at Del Mar, I was getting notices from my neighbors that they had just been called for alert evacuation. It wasn't mandatory evacuation, but we were right next to it. And it's been that way up until just this morning, I believe, where they said we're no longer on voluntary evacuation. There's still fires to the south, north, and east of us, but fortunately, we're in sort of this little safe haven of an area where the fires are not that close anymore.
Now let's hope that continues. Jeff Bloom here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brother, appreciate the time. Appreciate all your efforts and everything you're doing to help out there. And if there's anything else we can do on this end, please let us know. We're here for you. Our thoughts and prayers are with everybody affected.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Jeff Bloom, like all of our guests who appear on the show, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. And you can embrace your passion. You can wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're going to get to another break. We'll come back with more. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
This afternoon, Gulfstream Park plays host to the Clásico del Caribe and six other stakes races. The Caribbean Classic is being held for the first time outside of the Caribbean and Latin America. Come out early and enjoy breakfast at Gulfstream from 8 to 10:30 in the Winner's Circle. And don't forget to reserve your spot for the Pegasus World Cup Betting Challenge coming up on January 27th. It's all part of another championship meet at Gulfstream Park. Visit GulfstreamPark.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
First Samurai. A multiple graded stakes winning son of Giants Causeway, First Samurai boasts three grade one winners from his first three crops, including Claiborne Farm Stallion Lee. This year, his talented daughter, Miss Sky Warrior, reeled off powerful victories in four consecutive graded stakes, including the grade two Devona Dale and Gazelle Stakes. First Samurai at Claiborne Farm.
Bloom Racing, Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Attention horsemen, the 2017 Iowa Stallion Auction takes place December 2nd through the 9th, with all monies raised used to fund three stakes races, which had total purses of nearly $219,000 this year. The auction is the only stallion auction where the donator of the stallion season is eligible to receive a $5,000 per race bonus. All foals born in 2019, regardless of what state they're foaled in, are eligible to nominate. Make your stallion donation now at iowathoroughbred.com.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. We spent an awful lot of time talking about the situation in Southern California. Well, don't forget that Coolmore America and Mike Rapoli are also doing everything they can to help. They're offering, how about this, a no-guarantee season to Uncle Mo for the 2018 breeding season, which is going to benefit the wildfire relief efforts in California. Proceeds raised will be donated to the horsemen and the horses affected by this tragedy through the Horses First Fund, which is administered by the Thoroughbred Charities of America and founded by Ellen J. Foxwoods. Now, here's the way it works. All bids need to be submitted in writing through the sales team at Ashford Stud. You can contact Adrian Wallace at adrianmw@coolmore.com. That's Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N-M-W, at coolmore.com. His phone number, 859-327-8302. You also want to be sure to CC Gary King, Gary King at thetdn.com. All of that needs to be done by Wednesday, the 13th of December, by 5 p.m. Eastern. That's this Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern. And again, great stuff from Mike Rapoli and the team at Coolmore America. Well done. Tip our cap to those folks for helping out any way they can. And I'll give this GoFundMe link one more time. If you want to help, it's easy to do. So many people have already helped just over the course of the past 2 hours that account is growing. Go to GoFundMe.com/thoroughbredcare to make your donation and help any way you can. Again, if it's $10, if it's $10,000, any little bit helps. Go there now, GoFundMe.com/thoroughbredcare. Pontiff, we do have some racing taking place on the West Coast today. Of course, we have the big one down in Florida with the Caribbean Classic, which is our contest race, designated contest race of the day. If you want to enter to win a trip for two to next year's Florida Derby, play in our Road to the Florida Derby Challenge, which is up right now at horseracingradio.net. Simply pick a horse in today's Caribbean Classic at Gulfstream Park, and you will be entered in this week's round two of the contest. Of course, we started last week. Round two coming up today, and it goes all the way through the Fountain of Youth Stakes at right around the end of February.
Yeah, the contest has started out with some challenging racing last week. Very challenging claiming crown race, and some long shots finished first, second, and third. We didn't even have 10 people on the leaderboard.
I know.
Hopefully this week we'll have some more, and we'll get the top 10 up there for you by midweek for sure.
Yeah, play right now. It's at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, pretty cool.
All right, so two grade ones at Low Sale. We have about a minute and a half to look at these two races.
Well, that's good.
Short fields.
Yeah. Like I told Anthony yesterday, I wish they had five-horse grade ones when I was trained. anyway, we got the third race at Los Alamitos is the Los Alamitos Cash Call Futurity. Grade one, $300,000 purse. Obviously, Bob Baffert holds the hot hand here. He's got Solomini, who was second to Good Magic in the Breeders' Cup, and then the impressive first-time starter McKenzie, who you may have heard a rejoin clip of when he broke his maiden in his only start on October the 28th at Santa Anita. Both these horses are doing well, training well. I think Solimini has the edge. He's been a mile in the 16th twice, whereas McKenzie has only run one race going 7/8. It wouldn't shock me if either one won, but I think you should stick with the horse with the experience in the class, and that would be Solimini.
All right, Solimini, second last time out, as you mentioned, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Nope.
That'll win you some races. The fourth race is the Grade 1 Starlet. This is the filly version of the Cash Call Futurity. Interesting to note, War Heroin was stabled at San Luis Rey Downs. I don't know if she was down there. I don't know if she's going to run. Keep an eye on that. She's a daughter of Lonro. She should really love the grass, this filly, out of a War Chant mare. But whether she runs or not is up in the air. Dream Tree, Baffert again, won by a nose twice in a row, going 6 furlongs and 7 furlongs. Has not gone the 2 turns yet. Is going to have to cope with a long stretch here at Los Alamitos. Although her late pace figures are very, very good, both at Santa Anita and Del Mar, so she probably can handle the stretch and the distance. She's a daughter of Uncle Mo, who Mike Rapoli and Coolmore are auctioning that season off. So she's an interesting horse and one to root for. Pieti Bianchi, Doug O'Neill's entrant. She's got experience. She was 5th in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. She was 3rd in the Chandelier, 2nd in the Del Mar Debutante. She's a pretty nice filly as well, and certainly has a look at this race.
All right, there you go. Those are the two Grade Ones at Los Alamitos later this afternoon. We're back to wrap this one up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Athena Spring Stallion Point of Entry. A 5-time Grade 1 winner, viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy. The sire of 2-year-old stakes winner Glamination in his first crop, along with the impressive filly Moonlight Rain, who defeated males in her debut. On the racetrack, Point of Entry was the first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer. And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
From a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. The heir to Dinah Former and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Canyon Bay. And Pioneer of the Nile, Garrett Gomez, have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including 3-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and classic-placed Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharoah. Empire Makers' first U.S. crop since returning from Japan are now weanlings and have sold for up to $425,000. Boasting excellent fertility, his 2018 book is limited to 130 mares.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum. Our thanks to Jeremy Ballin from the Blood Horse, Mark Thatcher in the first half of the show, Alex Waldrop from the NTRA, and Jeff Bloom for joining us this morning. Thanks to everybody who supported the relief efforts out in California. Please continue to do so. Been a lot of fun, JT. Busy show.
Yeah, it was a busy show.
Yeah, very busy show. All right, we're back next week. Brand new program next Saturday. Make sure you join us. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, and for Chauncey, handling all of our social media, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time here on the Equine Forum. Thanks for listening, and hey, go Steelers. 10-2, baby.
Good night, Barbados.